Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for your spirit that's in this place, Father. And God, as you minister to us, God, as you meet the needs of your people, Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint me to proclaim your word. Father, that we would be challenged, God, that we would realize the authority that your word has, Father, that, God, we would take our minds, our hearts, our spirits, God, our flesh, and lay it at your feet. Father, may your spirit have control of this service. Father, may you do what you see fit. May you minister to your people, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. You can be seated. The last Sunday of the year, I like to take, and I call it Vision Sunday, and it's just where I share my vision for Prairie View over the next year. And so 2021 was a little bit of a rough year. It wasn't the greatest year I think any of us have ever had. And I think in some sense, some of us are just glad to be through it. But it also had some good parts to it too. And so as we look into 2022, I just want to really share with you what the Lord has been speaking to my heart. And it's not anything groundbreaking. It's not anything earth-shaking, but it is what I believe God is calling us to. And what he's just been speaking to me is just back to the basics. Back to the basics of what it means to be Christian. And so as we go throughout this series or this sermon, I'm just going to share with you some things that he's really laid on my heart. And I titled it Foundational Christianity because, church, the reality of the situation is if we ever move away from what makes Christianity Christianity, then we're no longer Christian. And in a world that is being tossed to and fro, and there's so many different beliefs and so many different things that are being taught, even within the church, we need to return to what the Word of God says as our rule and as our guide. And we need to understand that if we differ from this, we're wrong. This does not change. It is not wrong. God gave us a word that he gave us for a reason. And so the three areas that I want to walk us through this coming year in 2022 are discipleship, fellowship, and sanctification. And I know that sanctification especially is everybody's favorite word ever. But it matters. It matters that we know that we are the called out ones, that we know that we have a purpose and a plan. And so if you'll turn with your Bibles, in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to begin there. And I want to talk about discipleship. And again, I know there's a modern definition of discipleship that just means that you mentally agree that Christ is the Lord, but the Bible takes us deeper than that. And so as we go through this, let the Holy Spirit show you how your life measures up to the Word of God, with the intention of knowing that the whole goal of our Christian life is to be shaped and formed into the image of Christ. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?'" And we can never move past discipleship, church. We can never let discipleship be something that only the super committed do while the rest just hang out. The call to follow Christ is tantamount to the gospel. And so when we look at this, this means that we got to step away from this teaching that it doesn't cost anything to follow Christ. I don't know where that idea came from, but Christ, to even begin to follow him, he calls us to die to ourselves. That means we die to our thinking, we die to our flesh, we die to our way of doing things, and we understand that there's a way to do things that honors God. The Christians, before they were called Christians, they were called people of the way. And if you read in your Bibles, it's a capital T and a capital W. It was the way, because there is a way to follow Christ that is different than anything that came before that. If you can be the same person before Christ that you are after Christ, you don't have Christ. And I hate to say it as blunt as that, but we have to get to the point where we understand that Christ came to save people from themselves. You with me so far? There's a transformational occurrence that happens when we come to Christ. And in James 2:19, Word of God says, you believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder. And so what James is doing is the whole book of James is written to people that believe that they are believers, but they have no fruit in their life. And so he writes to them and he says, listen, you might know all the right answers, but they're not found in your life. There's no fruit. You might say you have faith and then you don't do anything. There's no evidence of faith working in your life, but I'm going to show you my faith by my works because true faith produces good works. And he writes to them and he goes all the way through it. And so what he's saying is that it's not just enough to have this mental idea of Christ, that Christ is Lord. You have to know him as Lord. And that difference, that makes such a transformational difference in your life. And so as we go into 2022, there's, and I said it earlier, I believe I said it the first time I stepped in this pulpit as a pastor, that there's going to be a line drawn in the sand between the way that the world does things and the way that God does things. And we cannot call ourselves God's people and do things the way that the world does it. We cannot. That line in the sand is drawn, and it is time that we fall on one side or the other. There's no more a foot in each world. There's no more going back and forth. There's no more trying to get God's end through man's means. It's God's way, and God's way delivers God's results. In John 3:3-8, we read the following. It says, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And one of the marks of true Christianity is that transformational occurrence. And I've never got behind this pulpit with the intention to preach what is popular. I don't care about that. I care about preaching this, rightly divided, the way it's meant to be preached. It should be challenging, it should be convicting, not for just for you, for me, but we should be growing in our lives. We should be transforming more and more in our lives. And so the things in our lives that are of the flesh should be slowly dying, and the things of the Spirit should be coming to life. And that means, church, that there's some work we got to do, all of us. There's some work we got to do. And when I read the Bible and I look at the church in Acts and I see what the beginning of Christianity was like, and then I look at the church at large today, I don't see a whole lot of things that match. I don't see the power of the Spirit working the way that he does in Acts. And so my goal and my desire is to present this church to God in a way that is honoring to him fully and completely, where his Spirit has free reign, where sin is being killed, where the flesh is being crucified, and where we count it a small thing to die to ourselves and to pick up his cross because of what he has done for us. And so this biblical understanding of conversion needs to be preached again and again and again. So next year, you're going to hear the gospel as many times as it can be preached. Because I don't know who walks through that door. I can't tell you on a Sunday morning who's going to come. But I can tell you that if they come to the house of God and they don't hear the gospel, we've done a disservice. If they don't see the gospel being lived out in our lives, we've done a disservice because our lives are not about us. Our lives are about Christ in us. What that looks like, that means that you're going to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, church, it starts with us. And so when we return to this biblical understanding, we're going to understand that there's an experiential aspect to living with Christ. If you think about it, and I've said this before, but if you are dead spiritually, not alive, you're walking, you're talking, you're moving, you're eating, you're sleeping, but your spirit is dead. And all of a sudden, the God of the universe comes to live in you, it should make a difference. Paul Washer says it this way. He says, if I was going to come and speak at a service that you were holding, and I'm on my way, and it's supposed to start at 10 o'clock. When 10:30 comes and I'm not here, and 11 o'clock comes and I'm not here, and 11:30 comes and I come walking in the door, and I'm just bloody and a mess and ragged, and you ask me what happened, and I say, the craziest thing happened. I was on my way here, my tire fell off my car. It just fell off, just went down the highway. So I pulled over and I got out a different tire and I put it on. As I was changing that tire, one of the nuts rolled off and rolled out on the highway. And so I went out to pick it up. And as I stood up from picking that nut up, a semi trailer, logging truck loaded fully down, hit me, but I made it. I'm here. He'd say, you would look at me and I would think he's a complete liar or he's a complete liar. There's no other option. And he says, so how is it that people can claim that they've encountered the living, risen Christ and not be changed when he is so much bigger than a logging truck? Your pre-saved life should be blown to smithereens by your newly found life. And so that's where we're going to look at, and that's what we mean. And so when we look at what it means to be a disciple of Christ, it means that we no longer live for ourselves. It means that everything we do, everything we say, everything we act, our dealings with money, our dealings with people, our dealings with the world are all things that can bring glory and honor to God. It's not easy. But that kind of fruit that comes from that is a fruit that lasts eternally. When people see that you are the same, no matter what you go through, that you can worship God when you're on your high as you can when you're in your low, that means something to people. And so people are watching us and they need to be able to see Christ in us. And that's where the discipleship part comes, is that the more that we purpose in our hearts and minds, the more that we allow the Spirit of God to empower us, to lead us, to guide us, the more people will see Christ in us. And I don't know about you, but I know that there's people that need to see, not hear, but see that what people say they are is who they are. The second part is fellowship, and fellowship is another key component to foundational Christianity. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And I know that we live in a very individualistic age, and I get that. But just because we live in an individualistic age does not mean that this changes. Amen? You with me? And so you would be hard-pressed to read through your Bible and find anything at all that talks about doing it on your own, about living unto God and bring glory and honor to him and honoring Christ with your life alone. It doesn't happen. It happens in community, that God designed us for community. He designed his church. The church is not a man-made institution. It's a God-ordained institution that Jesus is the head of. And so this body of Christ at large is something that when the Spirit of God comes, when we are converted, when we are taken from being spiritually dead to being made spiritually alive, we enter this family. Whether we like it or not, good or bad, and I can say most of the time, good or bad applies to both sides, to us and others. So for good or bad, we are part of this family. We are brothers and sisters, and that means something. It means something beautiful if done right, if looked at in the right way. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 12, we read the following. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If you have your Bibles, underline verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, underline that too, that God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. In one of the greatest letters that Paul has written to how the church is supposed to function, what the church is supposed to be, he does not say, do your own thing. He says the exact opposite. Come together and do God's thing. And so, whether you're weak or strong, whether you're a hand or an eye, no matter what part of the body you are, this body is one body, which means that we have one purpose, we have one goal, we have one spirit that leads us. And so, when we humbly submit to God and to each other, that's when the Lord is honored. That's when a body can function. And if I was to have this body and my leg, this leg wanted to go this way, and this leg wanted to go that way, and my arm wanted to go over there, and my other arm wanted to go over there, it'd be an absolute wreck. You look at me and think, I don't know what in the world he's on, but it's not normal. The world's not stupid, church. When it looks at a church and it sees everybody doing their own thing for themselves, it matters. And so as we move into 2022, there is no doubt in my mind that whatever spiritual forces there are that are trying to seek to tear apart the body of Christ, they're not going to slow down. They're not going to get weaker. They're not going to stop. They are going to push harder and harder. The separation that has occurred in 2020 and 2021 from everything that we consider normal is going to ramp up. And so if we are not purposeful about intentionally belonging to this body of people, of doing things God's way, then we'll reap the rewards of that. If, however, we are purposeful and we come with intent and we purpose to not give the enemy any space between you and I, he won't have any space between us. And so it's on us to come together. And the beautiful thing is that when you look at discipleship, you can't have true discipleship if you don't have true fellowship. And you can't have true fellowship if you're not following true discipleship. They belong hand in hand. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's where we sit, is to purpose. Because how many of you, you might age yourself, but I think it's okay. You remember that push that they had a while ago, True Love Waits? That purity thing? And you got the purity ring? Do you remember what the whole point of that was? That before you were ever in a position to become impure, you purposed in your heart that you were going to remain pure. Because if you waited until that minute to decide if you're going to be pure or not, chances are you weren't. And it's no different for the church, because the church is supposed to be pure. And so if we decide that when the enemy attacks more, or when things don't go our way, or when this or that we're going to do these things, it might be too late. Let's purpose now to be what Christ has called the church to be, because then whatever comes down the road, whether it's good or bad, we have already purposed. We're not going to react to what's going on around us. We're going to be who God has called us to be and force the enemy to react to that. I don't want to be a reactionary Christian. I don't want to be somebody that has something bad happen that says, I don't know what to do. I want to be somebody that is so immersed in God's word and where my spirit is so laid out before him that good or bad, I can stand up and I can say, God, I know who you are. I know that circumstances don't change who you are. I know that whatever I go through doesn't change who you are, that whether what I thought was going to happen happened or not, I will stand up and I will praise you and I will be who you have called me to be, because good or bad, he is always good. I'm preaching a lot harder than you guys are amening. I don't know if there's... Thank you. Now I can go on. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says the following. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When I look at the world, I see that day drawing near. And so I've already purposed in my heart that if there is a chance to gather together, I want to be there. And here's why I want to be there. Because you have gifts I don't have. Because Christ in you can edify my life in ways that I cannot get on my own. Because when I read the Word of God and I see fellowship and community and discipleship and all the different gifts working for the edification of the whole, and when I see that God has built his church the way that he wants, I don't want to go and do that out there by myself. I want to do that here with you. Because God has called me here and God has called you here. And us together is what makes this church the church. Not me, by myself, not you by yourself, us together. And that moves us into talking about sanctification. And sanctification is defined as the action of making or declaring something holy and the action or process of being freed from sin or purified. It is both something that happens instantly. In Christ, we are holy. But it is also something that happens progressively in the fact that as we study the Word of God, as we allow the Word of God to wash us and we obey the Scriptures and we listen to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, that we are being made holy. I'm not as holy right now in my daily life as I'm going to be one day. And so it's both an instantaneous thing and a progressive thing. And so I don't know where we got the idea that conviction is a bad thing. I purposely find the most convicting preachers I can find that do my devotions because I don't want fluff. I don't want to get up in the morning and have somebody blow up my ego and tell me that I'm this and that and everything else. And I it's all within me to make my world what it is, because that's baloney. I want somebody that's going to tell me what the Word of God says in a way that every day I'm being convicted, because that means that every day I'm growing in the Lord. I don't like it. I can tell you, I can list you off a name of preachers that I do not like in my flesh. But I can tell you that they are excellent for my spirit. They give a challenging word. And so this idea that conviction is wrong needs to go right out the window. And we need to come to church expecting to be challenged, convicted if necessary, but to grow in the Lord every time that we are together. In 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22, we read the following. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Church, we have a spiritual obligation to fight sin each and every day. To let those layers, I am so thankful for the grace of God that he does not show us how sinful we truly are all at one time. He does it layer by layer. Because if he did it all one time, we might want to give up. But he calls us and he sanctifies us and he draws us. And he, when we get up and we fall in the mud, he picks us up, he wipes us clean. We start again, we fall in the mud, he picks us up, he wipes us clean. He does it in a way that is so beautiful and so gracious that being sanctified is something that we should long to have happen in our lives. We should be praying together that this church would grow in sanctification, each and every one of us. That the more sanctified we are, the less sin has its hold on us or this church. And I can tell you that the one thing that will hinder God's plan more than anything is sin. And we're gonna go into that after the first year. So get prepared, get excited. It's going to be awesome. Your favorite sermon series ever. But it matters. How you live your life matters. What you do matters, but how you do what you do matters. We have to remember that. In Colossians 3, I'm going to read a rather long portion of Scripture, but it speaks so clearly to this. It's such a beautiful passage of Scripture. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. Word of God says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died." You have died. If you have your Bibles, underline that. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The way that this is read can be read different. I'll read it how it's written, but I'll explain it in a second. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. It could also say, therefore, because of everything that we just read, put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So church, when we look at these three things, when we look at discipleship and fellowship and sanctification, they all go together. And I guess just to lay it out there as bluntly as I can, there is not anybody here that should not want their fellow brothers and sisters to be closer to the Lord next year than they are this year. And so we should pray for that. We should pray that whatever is going on in people's lives, that God would work it out. We should pray that if there be any sin in the lives of anybody here, that God would reveal that, that it would be done, and that the Holy Spirit would bring that person to repentance, that he would produce a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And we should pray that if the enemy is just wreaking havoc in somebody's lives, because let's be honest, we don't all know what everybody's going through. So the people that are sitting in front of you and behind you and to your left and your right, pray for those people. The ones that are not here, pray for them. Because prayer matters. And not only does prayer change circumstances, prayer changes us. And so if you have a problem with somebody in this church, start praying for them. And you might start out and say, God, I wish the sledgehammer from heaven. You might start praying that. But when you really humble yourself and you bow down before the Lord, you won't get up praying that. You'll get up praying for forgiveness for you, forgiveness for them. You will be reconciled, because to not be reconciled is to spit in the face of your Savior. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And so, where I sit, and it's funny, I told the council that I've tried to ease you guys into who I am as a pastor, and I don't know how much you've appreciated it, but I can promise you one thing, I'm not going to waste your time. When you come here, I'm not going to waste your time. Because your time and my time is actually God's time. And I'm not going to waste any of it. And so when you come, you might hear something said that you don't like. If it's wrong, talk to me about it. If it's this, then we got work to do together. Where I want Prairie View to go this next year is to strive as hard as we can together to make sure that we are as biblically faithful a church as we can possibly be. Front to back, side to side, up and down, it does not matter. I can tell you that when we do things God's way, we'll get God's results. And there's a way that you can do things And we're gonna talk about that in that series, but there's a way that you can do things that seems like it's right, but it's not. God's way gets God's results. And that's what my purpose is for 2022, is to go back to the basics, to go back to foundational Christianity, to make sure that our foundation is strong and solid, that there's no cracks, there's no parts falling off, that whatever is built on that foundation lasts because it is God's foundation. 2022 will be a year of building, but sometimes when you build, you got to go back to the beginning and start again. It does no good to build on a foundation that is not complete, that is not settled, that is not secure. In Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 27, we read the following. Ladies, I'm going to give you a beautiful present to take home to your husbands today. Be gentle with how you use it, because we have feelings too, even though we won't admit it. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This right here is where it sits. If we are disciples of God, if we want fellowship with each other and with God the Father and Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit, then we will purpose in our hearts that we will do our part to make sure that this happens. Because Jesus wants to present himself a church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The way that that happens is through sanctification, the washing of the word. So when we come and we gather together and we break open the word of God, it should be washing us and bringing up out of our hearts any impurities that are there. Over and over and over again, so that we can stand united no matter what comes. And I can tell you that there are certain ways that the enemy is after this church, and you won't believe. He's after all churches in different ways. But I promise you, if you will listen to this, and if you will work and let the Holy Spirit work in you to help you obey the word of God, his influence will be less and less and less. Here's a scripture, and it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. We've got that so backwards. We think that if we can just come and sacrifice some tears at the altar, that God will just do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So instead of being a church that at the end of 22, we turn around and we say, man, God, I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry this happened and I want to repent. Instead of being a church that needs to do that, let's be a church that obeys first. Because that's greater than sacrifice. And so as we move into 2022, it will be, from what God has been telling me or leading me, it'll be a year of restructuring and going back to the beginning, but it will also be a year where our foundation is secure. And I told you that when I went to Montana camp, that the pastor there spoke word over me about building. And that has never left my spirit since he said it. And so my purpose and my goal, my whole point of being here, is to build. And when I look at you, I don't just see people that come to make up numbers on a Sunday morning. If that's the only reason I'm here, you shouldn't have me here. What I see is people that have a purpose, that have a divine calling. The different ways that God has gifted you, the different ways that you can serve, the different ways that you can come together and that you can glorify and honor the Lord with your life and with the giftings he's given you is incredible to me. This church does not lack for gifts. And so in 2022, let's pursue the Lord. Let's use those gifts. Let's bring glory and honor to him by being the church we can be. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we conclude the last service that we'll have of 2021, Father, I just want to take time to thank you, God, for everything that you've carried us through, God, the good times and the bad times, Father, the times of joy, God, and the times of weeping. But Father, to be able to gather in this place, Jesus, to bear your name, and Holy Spirit, to have you living in us is a gift that we should all be thankful for. So Father, as we move into this new year, Father, I pray, God, that you would call forth the giftings that you've given people. Father, that as a body, we could move in our giftings to edify each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be hindered in no way from us, that we would give your Spirit freedom to move as he sees fit. Father, I pray that chains would be broken, God, that lives would be set free. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this next year, Father, would be a year of such deep spiritual revival in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits that, God, when we look back, we would say, look what the Lord has done. God, that we would purpose in our hearts now to become people of the Word. God, to understand that, Father, you gave us your Word so that we could be equipped to do your work, fully equipped. So, Father, let us purpose that our time is short. We don't know how much time we have on this earth, but God, you do. And so let us take every day that you have given us, every gift of each day, and use it in some way to bring glory and honor to you. And Father, I pray that as we grow closer and closer together as a body, that, Father, church hurt would disappear. That, God, that the things that the enemy has done in churches to people would be healed in Jesus' name. God, that you would work so sovereignly and so deeply that, God, hurts that have been carried for decades would be healed. Father, that hands that have not found the power to raise themselves would be held high. Father, that spirits that are crushed and broken would be healed and renewed. And Father, that as we move together to honor you, that Father, we would stand and see what you can do. That we would know that you have a plan, you have a purpose, and that we have died to ourselves, and that we live now for you. And Father, let us live with the understanding that it's not enough to one day stand before you with regret, but that we can stand before you knowing that we have strived with your Spirit to do all that you have called us to do. And Father, may your kingdom be advanced because of it. May your glory be made known to those that do not know you. And Jesus, may you be magnified in such a magnificent way that people would see and come and taste of the Savior. Father, bless your people. Meet their needs, Father. God, for those that are struggling, I pray that you would minister to them throughout the rest of this year. God, that you would comfort and protect, Father, that those that need peace would have it, that those that need, Father, closure would have it, God, that reconciliation would happen, God, that you would do a work that only comes from you to your people. I praise you and I thank you for what is to come, and I praise you and thank you for what you've pulled us through. And it's to your name and for your glory and for your honor that we're here today. In Jesus' name, amen.